Last week, we were able to. Let me just take a quick recap. What we did last week, we were able to see how the kingdom of God trans the kingdom, sorry, of David transitioned to Solomon, and we saw that transitions are not easy times. Where we saw how Adonijah, who was a brother of Absalom and also Solomon's half brother, decided to take on a rebellion. He wanted the kingdom, and he declared himself to be king. But then Bathsheba, Prophet Nathan, they quickly ran to David. They were able to get David to declare Solomon to be king. And we also saw how David made significant plans for building of the temple. And he also made sure that he gave gold, he gave precious stones, and even his officers and his captains, they gave so much that in fact the people rejoiced. And David also gave guidance to Solomon that he needs to deal with the people who troubled him. And so, like Adonijah, he continued in his rebellion. He asked for his father's concubine, that is Abishag, and he was executed. Abiathar, the priest who had served with David, was exiled, unfortunately, and this is because he also falls under the lineage of Eli. Then Shimei, who had cursed David when he was running away from Absalom, is also executed. He was told not to leave Jerusalem, but then he left. After 3 years, he forgot he left when his slaves ran away, and he's also killed. And then Joab also, he had shed innocent blood in the time of peace, so David also had asked Solomon to deal with him, and he's killed as well. And then we see that the kingdom is firmly established under Solomon. So now this is where we start our journey today, and we'll be able to start to see the life of Solomon as a king and what he was able to accomplish with the grace of God. So when we start with 1 Kings chapter 3, we are going to read from verse 1. And here we'll be looking at how Solomon asks for wisdom. And I think one of the foundational things that we learn or we know about Solomon is he is known for his wisdom. And I believe he's considered the wisest man on earth, or that one that is born of a woman, because the Bible tells us that Christ is here, is greater than Solomon. One greater than Solomon is here. Christ is greater than Solomon. But then now we can see Solomon of those born of men and ever been and will ever be. I don't think anyone will ever reach Solomon. So let's read 1 Kings chapter 3. It says, "Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, and for there was a great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you, and you have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne. And as it is this day now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?'" So just before we get to God's response, or to Solomon's God's response, we can see that Solomon already, what I would think is he started even on the wrong foot, in that he already makes a treaty with Pharaoh and he marries Pharaoh's daughter. And one of the things that how, David was a man of war. David established, he conquered the nations around, but Solomon made treaties with all of them. And by making treaties with all of them, he married all these women, of which he married 700 who were princesses, and then 300 were concubines. So we can see Solomon, and that is an area where he makes a mistake. He makes treaties. By making treaties, he marries all this. And then also there were high places. And when the Bible speaks of high places, it refers to where there were altars, and people will go and worship in altars. And in the altars were mostly in hilly areas, because people believed they could sacrifice there and all that. You can remember. Yeah, so those are what are called high places. And that is what, this is where Solomon initially, that time there was no temple, he went to sacrifice there. Now, God comes to him in a dream. And you can ask yourself, wow, how is it possible that God can come to you in a dream, ask you a question, and then you converse with God in the dream, and you are able to give the right response, and God blesses you from the dream. You can imagine, because you will think that in a dream you don't have so much control over it. You understand? But you see, those are some of the mysteries of God, that he can even come to us in dreams, and he can, you know, give instruction in our hearts. And this is something that you can read even the book of Job. He says that God seals instructions in the hearts of men in dreams. You know, he can give you direction, he can give you guidance. But now you can see, when God comes and seals the instruction in Solomon's dream, then Solomon's, the Bible says, this speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. He asked for wisdom. He said, I am only a child. I do not know how to go in and how to come out. He says, how can I govern these people? And God, this thing pleased God. Then God said to him, because you have asked for this thing, and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall be any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Just picture that. You know, you ask for, God asks you, what do you want? And even for us, if you were to ask yourself, if God was to ask you, what do you want? Someone might say, ah, me, I want money. Or someone will say, ah, me, I want, you know, people to love me. But you see, Solomon asked not for himself. It was not even from a selfish point of view. He asked for wisdom to judge, to know justice. And this thing made God so happy that God gave him even what he did not ask for. You see, some of the blessings of God come in a way that they come packaged. When it comes with wisdom, God also, riches and honor follow wisdom. You know, you can see. But then also there's what was conditional. He was told, if you are in obedience to God, then God will give you long life. So long life was conditional if he is faithful to God. But what God gave him without condition was riches and honor in addition to the wisdom. I wanted to ask you a question. If God were to ask you today, what is it that you want? A blank check like that. What do you think you would ask for from God? If today God was to ask you, what is it that you want? And he will give you. Charles, how would you answer God today? And maybe Pradeep, how would you answer God? If God was to ask you, what do you want? Bible studies, so we all contribute. Have you ever thought about it? If God was to give, yes, Pradeep, go ahead.
For me, it's always like one thing I ask, and it is mental peace.
Okay.
I truly mean it.
Yes.
And I actually from years. I'm asking about it, and like for my family, both for my own family for my parents, you know, and like, and the place where I grew up, like I want peace among my family,
yes,
among everywhere, and this is the one thing. And another thing, when I was a kid, I always like try to pray before start reading or reading book or study.
Yes.
Daily study.
Yeah.
So I used remember one verse like maybe James, in James.
Yeah.
I forgot the exact what. It's like ask for wisdom to God.
Yeah.
The verse is like that. So I always ask for wisdom so that I can understand what I'm reading.
So if you are to choose between wisdom and peace, which one will you go for?
I think I will go for wisdom.
Amen, amen. Okay, good. Charles, what will you go for?
God's wisdom, I can recover this.
Yeah, you can recover everything else. I get you. Charles, what will you go for?
Yeah. So I think we are being led by God's wisdom. Yeah. So I will focus on God's wisdom. So because without God's wisdom, we cannot do anything. I think I also mentioned that when we have a godly heart and we have godly knowledge, it means we are going to apply our life for God's mission. So God is most important. Brother also mentioned something, so I would like to include the same things. Wherever I am, it means if I am on the bus and even if I am talking right now,
yes,
okay, and then anywhere, I have to build a great relationship with God. When I have good relationship with God, it means I have a godly heart, and I have a head of God. It means I have a wisdom of head and also ministry work.
Amen.
So main things are core track and foundational track, and after that ministry track. So three things. So how will we know that three things? How will we observe that we are really faithful? So sometimes we have to see our heart, that is it okay or not? Is it wrong or not?
Yeah.
And even, we have to observe that.
Okay.
That when we talk, when we do anything, so we have to see, and we have to realize as we are being led through the power of the Holy Spirit or not. So if I have Jesus, if I accepted Christ, it means I have assurance of eternal life.
Yeah.
It's true, but I have main things. I have everything when I have good relationship with God.
True.
But how will we know that I have a good relationship? For example, still now, I have been talking to you for a long time. Am I right, brother?
Yeah.
To you. So, same things. For example, I must talk to God. I must talk to God. I must surrender. I must submit to God. This is main things. And then we realize that, I have godly heart, I have a godly wisdom, and then what can I do for God? And that means I have a faith. So it's main things. But when I want to ask something, when I read this Solomon's life, at that time, actually, Solomon's life was not good. So it's very, very hard for me to understand something. And that's why God also punished him at that time. Am I right? He God separated and God take away his position. So, and even he got married, many married. Am I right?
I think we'll get to that. Good. No problem. We'll get to that. So let's go slowly. Yeah. So.
Okay. Go ahead. I want to give you opportunity to share. It's hard to know for me. So why I can ask? God. He asks to God. Oh God, give me wisdom. God gave wisdom, and he was being led through God's wisdom.
Yeah.
But at that time, he fall down.
Yes.
Even it's true. I want to say that it's true. If I see our lives, sometime we also fall down. Fall down. Am I right?
Yeah.
So, what's your perspective about it? It was really, really bad at that time for Solomon.
Sure. I think it's a question to reflect on. And then maybe as we continue studying his life, we'll be able to answer that. So, anyway, for now, we are in the place of his wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. God answered it. Now, as you have asked the question, so what? Why did he not keep his wisdom to the end? For me, my simple answer is wisdom is knowing what to do, but you have to decide. There is free will. So if you choose the right thing, then you have applied wisdom. If you choose the wrong thing, even though you know it is wrong, then that is a choice. And there you fall into judgment. So that is the issue of the free will that God gave every human being. So God did not make robots. He did not make people who would just obey him without their choice. But everyone has to have a choice. Okay, let's carry on. So he asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, now here we see where Solomon receives a tough case. Now two women who were harlots, these are prostitutes, came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "Oh my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maid servant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. You can imagine, two women, they have a child. One woman sleeps on a baby and the baby dies and exchanges the baby. And when this woman sees the dead child, when she wakes up and looks and says, "No, this is not my baby," because mothers know their children. The face, they will see certain features. They know this is my child and this is not your child. But you can see this woman whose child died wants to steal the child from the other. So how did Solomon judge? Because they came to the king, and the Bible says, and the king said, the one says, "This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one." And the other says, "No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one." And I'm thinking here, there's no time for DNA, you know, that they don't have like genetics and things like that. And that decision has to be made. But now see the wisdom of King Solomon. He said, then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child into two and give half to one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, "Oh my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." But the other said, "Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him." So the king answered and said, "Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him, for for she is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Amen. So the wisdom of God was there, was seen, you know, and one of the things that we'll see about wisdom, that wisdom is evident. If you have wisdom, we will see it, because wisdom builds things. You know, by wisdom, a house is built. So wisdom is a builder of things. You know, even the earth was created by the wisdom of God. So now we can see that the wisdom of Solomon that he had asked God for becomes evident. He's able to judge a difficult case. And I remember David also, the father also had a difficult case between Ziba and Mephibosheth. Ziba was the servant of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was lame. When David ran away, Ziba slandered Mephibosheth and said that Mephibosheth was not willing to come with David. And David told them, you divide the land. But Mephibosheth said, no, you give Ziba all the land. What matters is that the king has come back. So similar thing. Here now Solomon uses the same. He says, divide the child. Of course, by dividing the child, that child will be killed. But the true mother says, no, I better not have the child, but let my child live under that woman. But the mother whose son died, she pretends, she said, yes, divide the child so that he can be neither mine or yours. And Solomon is able to administer justice. Then we start to see the prosperity of the reign of Solomon, because his wisdom resulted in him becoming rich and prosperous. Remember, God said, I will give him both riches and honor. So 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 says, so King Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were his officials: Azariah, the son of Zadok the priest, Elihoreph and Ahijah, the sons of Shisha, scribes Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, over the army Zadok and Abiathar the priest, Azariah, the son of Nathan, over the officers, Zabud, the son of Nathan, a priest and the king's friend, Ahisha, over the household, and Adoniram, over the son of Abda, over the labor force. And Solomon had 12 governors over all Israel, who provided food for the king and his household. Each one made provision for 1 month of the year. So you can imagine, for the whole year is provided. Each governor provides food. And verse 26 tells us Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses, for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen. And these governors, each man in his month, provided food for the king, for King Solomon, and all who came to King Solomon's table. There was no lack in their supply. They also brought barley and straw to the proper place, and their horses and steeds, each man according to his charge. And then the Bible tells us Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand in the multitude, eating and drinking, rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms, from river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen. You can imagine they're eating this daily. You can imagine 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of a meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tisphah to Gaza, even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Look at how much Solomon prospered, so much that every man was under his own vine and his own fig tree. That means every person had his own house, and they will stay under their own tree. They will take under their own vine, they will drink of their vine, they will stay under their fig tree. Everyone was prosperous. And that is why Solomon is considered one of the greatest kings. Now, the Bible also tells us that Solomon's wisdom also exceedingly excelled. 1 Kings 4:29 says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. And he spoke of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon." You can see how his wisdom is growing. It is exceedingly, until he is wiser than all the men of the east. You can imagine. All the wisdom of Egypt. That means in the whole world there was no one as wiser than Solomon. Why? Because he simply asked God for wisdom. The Bible says he was wiser than all the men, than Ethan. I think this Ethan guy was very wise. Heman, Chalcol, Dada, you can see he spoke 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs. You can see even how he spoke of trees. You can imagine, this is now botany. Eh? He spoke of animals. This is now, I don't know what you call it, zoology. He spoke of birds. He spoke of creeping things, snakes, reptiles, fish. All this was in the wisdom of Solomon. And you can see such what God does. And then what did Solomon do? He had a charge. He was supposed also to build the temple of God. Remember, David had asked him, his father, to build the temple. So now how does Solomon prepare? And there's a lot of extensive work about the preparation. The Bible says, 1 Kings chapter 5, it says, "Now Hiram king of Tyre sent his servants to Solomon because he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram always loved David. Then Solomon went to Hiram, sent to Hiram, saying, 'You know, my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, Your son, whom I will set on your throne, in your place he shall build the house for my name. Now therefore, command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay you wages for your servants according to whatever you say. For you know that there is none among us who are skilled to cut timber like the Sidonians.' So it was, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people.' Then Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, 'I have considered the message which you sent me, and I will do all you desire concerning the cedar and cypress logs. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by the sea to the place you indicate to me, and will have them broken apart there. And there you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by giving food for my household.' Then Hiram gave Solomon cedar and cypress logs according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, 20 cores of pressed oil. Solomon gave to Hiram year by year, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together." So you can see how he starts to make preparations. Now, Solomon also raises a workforce. You know, he raises a labor force where of almost 30,000 men, he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts, and they were 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. You can see even they were doing R&R there in the time. You can see the wisdom. So they go and work for 1 month, and then 2 months they come back. And then you can see Adoniram was in charge of the labor force. He had 70,000 who carried burdens, 80,000 who quarried stones in the mountains. Besides, there were 3,300 from the chiefs of Solomon deputies who supervised the people who labored in the work. And the king commanded them to quarry stones. And remember when Jeroboam, his son, becomes king, they say, your father Solomon put a hard labor on us. And you can see how this hard labor is. They are quarrying stones and they're doing all this. And they cut costly stones and hewn stones all for the foundation of the temple. And then also Solomon also had forced labor because there are those tribes which were not destroyed, but then they were made slaves. And these are from the different, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. So these ones are part of the workforce. So Solomon is able to build the temple. He furnishes it. And he, you know, there are so many details of how he puts it with gold. And one of the things that Solomon does when he finishes is that he has to put in all the furnishings that his father had given him. The treasuries, they are all brought into the temple of God. And the Bible says, 1 Kings 7, verse 48, then Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of the Lord, the altar of gold, the table of gold on which was the showbread, the lampstands of pure gold, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left in front of the inner sanctuary with the flowers, the lamps and the wick trimmers of gold, the basins, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladles and the censers of pure gold and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner room, the most holy place, and for the doors of the main hall of the temple. So all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and the furnishings. He put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. So what else did he do after he has made the temple? Then he brought in the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the Ark of the Lord is where God's presence will come in. And this is what they had carried all the way from Egypt and from the wilderness. They brought it into the promised land. Moses had commanded them how to make the Ark of the Covenant. And this was where God would meet with them. So he also brings the Ark of the Covenant and he puts in the two tablets of stone. And he also puts in the things that are necessary for the Ark of the Covenant. So Solomon prays, he prays, and he needs to dedicate the temple. One of the things that we have to ask ourselves is, you see, Solomon understood something, and when he prays, he says that he knows God. You're the God who makes the heavens and the earth. You understand? You are so mighty, and he's saying that. But are you really going to be able to dwell in a temple? You understand? And that was the prayer. So he starts to pray to God that, yes, I have made this building. I have made all these furnishings. I have put the Ark of the Covenant in it. But if you, God, you do not come in and you do not bring your presence into the temple, then it will be of no value. And that's one thing you have to understand, that God is majestic. He's everywhere. But Solomon knew that he had to pray to God for God to come and dwell in the physical temple. And you see, if you think about us now, we are now the temple of God. So God's desire was not to live in temples, physical buildings that are made by human beings. But God's greatest desire was to live in the temples of human beings. That is the bodies of human beings. That's why we are the temple of the living God. So always think about it. That's why Solomon had to pray for God to come in and enter the temple. And one of the prayers that he prays also is that if anyone, you know, that now that we are praying for this temple, if someone sins against his neighbor and he comes and makes an altar, an oath at your temple here from heaven, if there is famine on the land and someone comes and prays in this temple here from heaven, you know, if there is war and people are attacked by enemies and they come and pray here from heaven. So all these were prayers that Solomon made, and he was asking God. All of 1 Kings chapter 8 is asking that. Then what did God happen? 2 Chronicles 7 tells us, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, He is good. Then Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep, and all the people dedicated the house of the Lord, and all the people and the priests attended to their service, the Levites also with their instruments of music. And David made praise to the Lord, saying, His mercies endured forever. And the priests sounded their trumpets, and you can see they feasted for up to 7 days. So God answered the prayer of Solomon in the prayer of dedication for the temple by ensuring that fire came down from heaven and the cloud came. And then now what does happen? God appears to Solomon a second time. Remember the first time God appeared to him and in a dream, and he asked him, what do you want? And he said he asked for wisdom. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says, and the Lord appears to Solomon by night, saying to him, verse 12, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. So, as I said, David has to pray for God to come and agree to stay in the temple that he had built. Otherwise, it will just be a building. Because without the presence of God, it's just an ordinary building that he has made. But you see, when God answers him, he now tells him, I have heard your prayer, and now I'm saying, I have consecrated this place to be a house of sacrifice, a place of prayer. So if in case there is trouble on the land, in case there is famine, in case there are locusts, in case there are pestilence, in case there is war, if my people, you Israelites, or you people of God who are called by my name, if you humble yourselves and pray and seek my face, then, and you turn from your wicked ways. You know, these are four things. You have to humble yourself. You have to pray. You have to seek the face of God. You have to turn away from wicked ways. Then God said, I will hear from heaven. And he said, then my ears will be attentive. So God gave him a promise, and he said, if you walk also before me and keep my commandments, then I will establish your throne as I covenanted with David. So you can see, Solomon, God appears to Solomon twice. You know, someone can ask you, how many times did God appear to Solomon? Many people will just say once, but it is twice. Now, and also God warned him, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword amongst all the people. You see, we're asking ourselves the question, how could Solomon with all this wisdom still fall away? And yet you can see even God warning him. The first time he was told, if you obey, I will give you long life. This time he's told, if you obey, I will establish your throne like your father David. And he's told, if you disobey, I am going to cast away this house. I'm going to cast away this temple, and the people will suffer because of that. So God had warned him. He has the wisdom, yes. But you see, wisdom does not equal to choice. Because many people always tell God, God, show me what to do. But you see, when God shows you what to do, you still have a choice whether to obey it or not to obey it. Wisdom for God is to give you direction. Your obedience is still important. And that is where many people fail, because they are not obedient to God. So Solomon also, we see he builds other things. He builds the city of David. He builds the Milo. You know, he builds other buildings. There's so many works that Solomon did. Storage cities, cities for his chariots. And he built so many things. Even Lebanon, people were bringing him gold. Then, of course, we remember the story now. Moving forward is the Queen of Sheba comes to see Solomon. Now, Sheba is actually in, from history we know, is Ethiopia. Huh? Is all this woman came all the way from Africa. Huh? She was the queen, and she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And she came to test him with what? With hard questions. So she came with spices, with gold, precious stones, and came to Solomon, spoke with him all that was in her heart, and Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And the Bible says, when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the sitting of his servants, the service of his waiters, their apparel, which is their clothes, his cupbearers, his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. That means that she was breathless. Eh? If you look at a simpler translation, it says she was breathless. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and I saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I had. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom." And he says, "Blessed are they delighted because the king has made you king." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices, you know, in great quantity, precious stones, and that there have never been seen such an abundance of spices. Then, but also King Solomon also gave her all she desired and even beyond what she had given. And she went back to her own country. So we can see the Queen of Sheba comes all the way to see Solomon. And even that's why Jesus says that, you know, the Queen of Sheba will judge you Israelites, because she came all the way to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. But now one wiser or one greater than Solomon stands before you, and yet they were not listening to Jesus. So Solomon was rich. We can see there's so much gold. You can see 1 Kings 10:14 says the weight of the gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of the traders, from all the kings of Arabia, from the governors of the country, and King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 miners of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. He made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. You can imagine ivory, how many elephants have been killed to make a great throne of ivory. And then he overlays it with gold. The throne had 6 steps, and on top of the throne was round the back were armrests on either side. And 2 lions stood beside the armrest, and 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had ever been made for any other kingdom. And all these lions were made of gold, you can imagine. You can just picture that throne and how much wealth he had. And the Bible also tells us that Solomon made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem. 1 Kings 10:27. That means there was so much wealth and prosperity by the wisdom of Solomon. That, remember, we had read that every man was under his own vine and under his own fig tree. That means everyone prospered. Everyone could have their own house. Everyone in Jerusalem, even though they were working, they also were wealthy. But then now comes the biggest elephant in the room, which is the downfall of Solomon. The Bible says, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many foreign women." Ah, that is where he went wrong. The Bible says, "As well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.'" Solomon clung to this in love. So he thinks, he feels that he was in love. Eh? And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. You can imagine a total of 1,000 women. and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, and as was the heart of his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as his father David. Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabite, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And you can imagine this Molech is that god where they will demand the sacrifice of children. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. You can imagine making all these high places, all these altars, all this worship for all these 700 women and 300 concubines. You can imagine how much his heart was drawn away from God. He says it was love, but because he loved many foreign women, he was not able to keep the wisdom that God gave him. And he had a choice, because God will always give every human being free choice. God shows you the right way, but you choose what to obey. And God was not happy. The Bible says, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord God of Israel, who appeared to him, and he commanded him not to do this. And he said, because you have not done this, I am going to take away the kingdom from you and I will give it to your servant. However, I will only leave with you one tribe, which is Judah, because of David. But then the 10 tribes, I'm going to give them away to someone else. And so God raises an adversary against Solomon. The first adversary is Hadad. And then he also raises another adversary, which is Rezon. And then he also raises the final adversary, which is Jeroboam. And eventually Jeroboam is the one who takes over the kingdom from the son of Solomon, who is Rehoboam. And you see, God judges Solomon because of his moving away from God. And eventually Solomon dies, the Bible says, and the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Solomon rested with his fathers, was buried in the city of David as his father, and Rehoboam reigned in his place. Such a sad ending to a very good story and a good start. He started well. He asked for the right thing. He asked for God. God, give me wisdom that I will judge these people. God gave him. God gave him riches. God gave him wealth. We have seen how much his wealth was available, how people came to see his wealth. We can see how he built the temple. We can see how he built so much wisdom, how he prospered the nation, how much gold he has, how many chariots. And you know, those are chariots, those are like cars. How many he was importing horses everywhere. He made silver as common as stones. But then his area of downfall, the Bible says, Solomon loved many foreign women. And his heart was moved away when he was older, and he lost the blessing of God. This is really the sad part, because he started well, but he did not end well. So what have we learned? We've learned so much. We've seen Solomon starts well, but he does not end well. He asked God for wisdom, but he knows what to do, but he still does not choose what to do. And that's why for me, I was asking myself, if God were to ask me, what is it that you want? Yes, wisdom is good, because it tells us, you know, what we know what to do. But if God were to give you a heart that loves God, a hunger for him, you know, if you are hungry for God, I was thinking of two things. One is just the presence of God, that God's presence will always be with me, that always I can hear his voice, I can sense his presence, I can hear his guidance. But beyond that, also a willing heart. Because I see what lacked in Solomon was a loyal heart to God. He lacked the willingness to continue loving God to the end. And I see that was a place where, yes, he had the wisdom, but the heart. And that's where God says, I will give you a new heart, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. And if we can ask God to give us a heart that desires him, And then we will not struggle to pray. We will not struggle to read the word of God. Why? Because he helps us to seek after him. And even as we come to an end, I pray that God will give us more insight into this and more reflection. So,